Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And this morning, I don't have a Thanksgiving message. I kind of figured, well, we spoke about that when Dr. Amershon was here with his family. And I remember we had a lot of Nigerians that were giving thanks. And so we spoke about it there. And I figured, well, I think I just feeling led to speak on something different than Thanksgiving, but something I believe we also can give thanks to God for. Acts chapter 10, I'm going to kind of jump around there. It could really use to read the whole thing, but just to save some time, we're going to hit bits and pieces throughout this story, because the story is repeated about three times here in chapter 10. So we'll start at verse 1. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius. He was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Then go down to verse 33. "So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you." Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Even as Peter was praying these things, verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. So, Father, I just pray your blessing over your word here this morning. And, Lord, as we read about what happened on that day in Acts chapter 10, God, we're praying for that to happen in our midst, in our community, and the people that we're praying for. We would pray for such a spiritual encounter, such a spiritual visitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I found it kind of interesting when I was just flipping through the news this week. It was talking about Thanksgiving. And as it talked about Thanksgiving, it talked about this study that was done. And that this study by scientists has now proven that expressing gratitude can reduce your stress levels. And kind of think, you know, it's always interesting when the world kind of comes up with something and there's, oh, look at that. Like, this really is good for you. And I wonder if God's not up there in heaven just saying, duh moment. Like, duh, I've been trying to tell you that. Like, give thanks always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it changes your stress level. Literally, it makes a difference. And so that's the Thanksgiving message part. And that's all of that part. But for today, I want to look at a different area and share about receiving a visitation from God. You know, in this passage we read here, we see a Roman officer named Cornelius. He receives a vision where there was an angelic encounter that led him to experience salvation and then a further encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so the visitation started with a vision, and then it looks like it went into an angelic visitation. Because if we read in verse 30, as he refers to this divine encounter that he had, it says this: Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. And As we look at that encounter, you know, when you have encounters from God, when God has given you a visitation and given you a dream or a vision, sometimes it can be so visual that you're actually there in the place. Like, you're actually there and you're sensing that. And that's what he's describing here as well. Like, there was an angel right there in front of me. And this encounter then led to another encounter where we see the Apostle Peter. He was also praying, and he experienced a vision where he saw a sheet full of unclean animals being lowered before him, and a voice speaking to him, explaining what was happening. And we see that jump up to verses 15 and 16 of Acts 10. And he says, "But the voice spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.' The same vision was repeated three times, and the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven." And from there we see that the Apostle Peter, he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit to say that there's some men at your door, and I want you to go with them. And so Peter does that. He takes the team with him, and they arrived in Caesarea, and they found a number of non-Jewish people wanting to hear the message about Jesus Christ. And for Peter, it was a whole new realization for him that the gospel was not just for Jews, but for all people. And as he began to speak, we also see another visitation starts to take place. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began speaking in other languages and praising God. That then led into another great event where there was a large baptismal service. And so this visitation helped the apostles and Jewish believers to realize that the gospel is for all nations and all cultures. And it helped believers realize that God desires all people to come to him and to find faith in him. And he's willing to go the extra mile to reach out to people, that even people might have dreams or visions, signs, wonders, even angelic appearances, even hearing God's voice. And, you know, as we look at our world today, our God is still a very real God. And he continues to pour out his Spirit upon our world with unusual signs and wonders. And I think we need to be praying, God, do it more. Do it more. We want to see more. And we're hearing lots of stories where people, even of different faiths, are coming to the knowledge of Christ because they have a vision of Jesus, and Jesus speaks to them, giving the gospel to them, and they respond and they start believing in Jesus Christ. And so there's wonderful things that are happening through visitations that are happening around the world. And one of those ways that we continue to see this happening is through divine visitations, like we read in this passage here, where people are having visions, people are having dreams, people are having divine visitations that are giving them understanding, is giving them encouragement, gives them direction, gives them leading, helps them in their faith, or brings them to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not, again, just Christians that are receiving visitations, but people really from all other cultures, even other beliefs, where Jesus is reaching out to them because Jesus desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, you know, we experience these visitations more, and most times for us as Christians, it's in regards to enlightenment or understanding in a certain area or a certain trial that we're going through, that God would encourage us. And in those times, often gives us direction, speaks to us, and sometimes we receive healing from God as well. But numbers of things can happen in those visitations. And I find that they're happening more and more. And I want to encourage you just to be praying for such counters yourself, and expect visitations that are going to help you and that are going to help others. It's certainly life-changing to experience a divine visitation. And, you know, and as I think about that, I realize for some people, you know, that you're trying to reach out to them, you're trying to share Christ with them, and they just keep, you know, pushing you off, pushing you off, pushing you off, and you don't seem to be getting anywhere with them. Well, that's why I pray, Lord, give them an encounter. give them a visitation. Lord, if you're giving a person a visitation over in this country, or you're giving some person a visitation over here, then why not right here, or why not this individual as well? And that's something I do pray. I pray about visitations more now than I ever have. And I've experienced a few of those visitations, and they were marvelous. I wish I could experience them every day. But they don't happen every day. They only happen once in a while. But they are very important when they do occur. And I realize, as I'm listening to some of you as well, that there's been numbers of you that have been coming to me and telling me that you've been having visitations, that you had a dream, that you had a vision, or you really felt the Lord really speaking to you, or there was some kind of an event that took place where you recognized that it was God. And friends, I think we need to be just praying more, Lord, more, Lord. We want to experience all that God can give to us. And, I really do wish that everyone would experience a divine visitation from God. And not just a one-time thing. You know, sometimes I hear about that where people testify that, you know, way back when, you know, I just had this encounter with God, and they talk about it and it's all wonderful, it's precious, but then you don't hear anymore. And I don't think God just wants to visit us once. He wants to visit us multiple times. We want to have communion with Him. When in the garden with Adam and Eve, He wanted to have visitation with them every day. And I believe God wants to visit with us every day. And I think we need to be praying for that and praying for others for that as well. Now, as we look at this passage, I see some things that this Roman officer did, Cornelius did, that really kind of helped position himself that he might receive that visitation from God, that divine visitation. And I see there some things for all of us to apply as well, that we can apply to our lives that position us better that we might receive a visitation from our God or through a divine miracle that takes place within us. And so first of all, in receiving a God visitation, we see that Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing person. And that's a great place to start. And preparing ourselves for something that we can do, that we can experience a visitation. Now, to be devout means to be dedicated, committed to a cause. And Cornelius, he was a good man, well respected by others, open to God, open to the faith, but he needed to learn more. But there was a sensitivity. He feared God. He didn't really understand everything about God, but there was enough there that it caught God's attention. Acts 10:2 says, he was devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. That's quite a testimony in itself, that everyone in his household was also devout and God-fearing. Acts chapter 10, verse 22 goes on to say, and we were sent by Cornelius, this is others testifying of Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by the Jews. Now, if you read that in the Passion Translation, kind of expands upon that a little bit. And it says he was a devout man of extraordinary character and of highest integrity. And that's what God-fearing causes in a person. It causes that person to have a godly character and also have godly integrity. Now, Cornelius was probably not a convert to Judaism, but being close to Judaism, being open to what the Jews were believing, there was an openness to God that he had, and he favored them very much. And that's a big deal, because remember, he's a Roman officer. He was there to rule the Jews. The Jews did not like the Romans because they were conquerors that came in and now were occupying their land. And so this is a very unusual situation where they see a Roman officer being kind to the Jews. You know, and as they think of that, you know, there are many good people in our world today that are not Christians, but that they're good living people. And I'm sure that, you know, you can think of people out there, and probably you have friends out there, maybe you have some relatives out there that they're not really, haven't come to that place to profess Christ, but they're really good people. They're good living people. They have good morals. They have a good lifestyle. And sometimes you look at them, you think, you know, the only thing you're missing in your life is Jesus. And sometimes for those people, it's kind of hard because they look around and see other Christians that sometimes don't live as good as what they do. But the Bible says that God notices people who would be God-fearing, people who have a good character, people that are good living people. God notices that. And so even for those folks, they're really in a position where they can experience a visitation. They're a likely candidate. Now, as Christians that have committed our lives to Christ, well, we're even in a better position to receive such divine visitations through dreams and visions and our prayer times, through reading the scriptures, and maybe on a rare occasion, maybe you might even have an angelic appearance. God does speak to his people, mostly through the Bible, mostly through messages, sometimes through testimonies of others, but sometimes, in special occasions, God will grant a divine visitation through a dream, through a vision, maybe through a prophetic word, a gift of knowledge, a strong impression, a healing, a miracle, maybe even an angel or a God encounter. Being a committed follower of Christ definitely helps in receiving a visitation like that. But I also want to point out that in some extreme cases, God will also visit the most ungodly person. And I think of the story of the Apostle Paul. As the Apostle Paul was a persecutor of the church, he was going around and putting Christians in prison. He was going around having Christians flogged. He was going around even having Christians killed. He was a murderer before he came to faith in Christ. And so he would kind of be on that far spectrum that we would think he would never, ever, ever experience an encounter with Christ. But the Bible says there was a Damascus Road experience that changed his life. And I'm sure as the early church was praying for Paul, that because of those prayers, God met Saul at the time. That was his name at first, was Saul, got changed to Paul. He had a divine encounter where he saw a light and he heard a voice. And that voice began to speak to him, and that encounter changed that man's life. And so that can happen as well. There can be people that they don't fit any criteria. They're not doing anything to receive a visitation. They don't even believe in God. They may be actually persecuting other Christians. Never give up hope on the people that you pray for, because God can reach them even in their darkest moments where they can have a visitation. So I think we need to be praying for divine visitations for wherever people might be in their faith. You know, and asking God, God, I pray that they would have an encounter with you, they would have a visitation with you that's going to draw them to you, that they might serve you all the days of their life. But when you have loved ones that once served God or walked away, that's what I do. I pray, Lord, give them a visitation. Do you want something to correct their problem, their situation? You know, sometimes people get that place, they don't want to listen to advice anymore. And you can send them to counseling, and you can do all kinds of things, and you can show them all the proofs of the Bible, and they just keep pushing away. But one encounter can change a person's life. And so I pray that, and I encourage you to be praying that for divine visitations from God. But also to be praying that we ourselves would position ourselves and invite the Lord to say, Lord, you are welcome to speak to me. Lord, you are welcome to visit me. And, you know, sometimes that can be quite an experience when you have an encounter with the Lord through a very strong vision or a dream or some other type of encounter where God speaks to you. But I think we need more of that. And so do welcome that. But if you want to position yourselves, starts with being devoted to God. Starts with a devotion and a hunger for the things of God. being a person that's devoted to God and wants more of God. You know, that's the best place to be if we really want to have a visitation from the Lord. Secondly, in positioning ourselves for God visitation, we should be generous. One should be concerned about others and willing to give to help others, and especially those who are suffering or those who are poor. We see as we read this story, Cornelius was such a man. He was helping his community. He was helping the poor around him. He was not afraid to give, and he was a big supporter of his community and even of Jews and Jews that were struggling or Jews financially that were having a hard time. Acts chapter 10 and verse 2 and also verse 4. Verse 2 says he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor. Notice what the angel said. And the angel replied to him, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." See, generosity gets God's attention. And Cornelius was a generous man that got God's attention because of his generosity. You know, sometimes we don't think it's that big of a deal, you know, to help somebody out or bless somebody, or that we give to a church, we give to an organization. Sometimes we don't really think, you know, all that a big deal. It is to God. Because when he sees our generosity, it gets his attention. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 10. Again, telling the story over again. He told me, "Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God." You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we kind of wonder, does God even notice? Like, does he even know what's going on right now? Does he see what's going on? And the scripture tells us, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He sees what's going on in our lives. He even sees how we give and how we bless others and how we help those who are poor and how we can be generous. So generosity gets God's attention. He notices what we do with our money and with our resources. And so even when we tithe, you know, when we give to causes, when we're helping people or blessing people, God takes note of that. You know, there's an interesting story in the Bible of Jesus. And he's at the temple, and he's watching people give. So again, it's kind of showing us that, yes, Jesus knows what we do. He knows how we respond. Matter of fact, he knows how much he gave today. He knows what was in the offering today. But anyway, as we read this story in the Bible, there's a story in the Bible of the widow who gave two small coins. And the story goes that Jesus was watching people give at the temple. And he was observing people that were well off, and they were giving gifts or giving offerings out of their surplus. But what really caught Jesus' attention was the widow who gave two small coins, and that's what grabbed his attention. And then Jesus was saying, this woman gave out of her poverty, not out of her riches, but out of her poverty, and she gave all that she had in that offering. Mark 12 tells us that story. I'll just read 43 and 44. Jesus called his disciples to him after observing this, and he said to them, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on." Jesus pays attention to what we give. Jesus pays attention to our generosity. And Jesus was very impressed with his widow and her generosity, that she would give everything that she had. That's quite something. Now, it doesn't tell us the rest of the story, how God probably blessed her and intervened in her life and all those kinds of things. But the very fact that Jesus would have this scripture recorded of a story that he observed was a big deal. So you can be sure that God took care of her. But giving and being generous gets God's attention. So if we're really wanting a visitation from God, something where, you know, we really encounter him, then being generous is a great place to be. And I think that should be an encouragement to us as well, that God sees our generosity. He sees our giving in the church and outside the church. And when he sees that, you know, it gets that place that he wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. You know, it's certainly a way that invites God's blessing back into our lives. So that's a biblical principle. 2 Corinthians 9, if you want to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, it's all about giving and how God's blessing comes upon us as we give. I just want to read a few verses here, 9 to 11 of 2 Corinthians 9. It says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Again, God says you're going to be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gift to those in need, they will thank God. Giving generously makes a difference. God notices our generosity and he blesses us for our generosity. And he blesses us in many ways. You know, it's not always a financial blessing that we get back. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's peace. Sometimes it's the guidance of God in their lives, the direction of God in their lives. And sometimes there may be a visitation through a dream, through a vision, through an angelic appearance even. That could be quite awesome and quite something. Now, personally, I've never had an angelic visitation that has happened to me. I knew there was angels in their room. I could sense that they were there. I could hear a conversation by angels. But I've never actually seen them. It was kind of funny at camp this summer as a just beautiful sense of the presence of God. And I could feel God touching me and bringing healing in my neck area. And afterwards, there was this man that came up. He was a Ukrainian man, and his little girl was with him. I think she might have been maybe 9 or 10 years of age. And he must have just came directly from Ukraine because he could hardly understand a word that he was saying to me. And he kept talking to me, and I'm trying to listen, I'm trying to understand. And then finally, the little girl, she obviously said, this guy's not too bright, he's not catching on what my dad's trying to say. So she began to say, I saw something today. I said, oh, what did you see? And she said, I saw two angels on one side of you and then another one on the other side. I was like, oh, wow. Again, little child. Sometimes little kids, I'm telling you, sometimes the little kids get it way faster than us adults. Sometimes their spirit can be open a lot better than even our own spirit as adults. But maybe God wants to give you an angelic visitation. That'd be quite something. But again, it goes back to, are you generous? If you're generous, then it's opening the door for such a wonderful occurrence like that to take place. Now, I'm not trying to tell you this morning to seek, you know, all the manifestations. Seek him. You allow the manifestation to be whatever God wants it to be. You know, that's how it just works. But anyway, good to be generous. Then thirdly, we see that Cornelius positioned himself for a visitation because he prayed regularly. He even prayed according to the times when the Jews prayed. So he did that numbers of times a day. He observed what they were doing. Obviously, God was touching his heart. He didn't fully understand everything about God. But he said, I'm going to do what I see the Jewish people doing. And they're praying three times a day. So he started doing that. And the Bible does say, Acts 10 again, verse 2 and 4. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Verse 4, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts of the poor have been received by God as an offering. I don't know if you kind of look at it in that sense as we bring offerings to God today. Well, literally, when you bring offerings, when you're generous, whether it's at church, whether it's on the street, whether it's helping somebody, that's an offering to God. It's a pleasing aroma to him. But so are your prayers. I think sometimes we don't value our prayers as much as we really should. That when we get together and we start to pray, it's like there's an aroma that comes up to God and he notices what we're doing. He pays attention to what we're doing when we gather together and we pray, or when we're gathered even by ourselves and we're praying. So sometimes, you know, we just don't realize how important some of the normal practices of Christianity are, like giving and like praying, but those things get God's attention, pleases him, and our efforts are received as a pleasing offering unto him. Acts 10:31, again, it says, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. So not only were his gifts noticeable, so was his prayer noticeable. I hope you realize that when you pray, God notices that. He sees you when you pray. He takes note of you when you're praying. Prayer gets the attention of God. He hears us. He answers us. And sometimes he may answer us in unusual ways, maybe even through a visitation. That's not common, but it can happen. And when they do, it is marvelous. So prayer is something that's important in our relationship with God. Opens the door to the miraculous. And you will note that as the Apostle Peter was praying in this story, just like Cornelius was, he experienced a divine visitation as well in a form of a vision. And so again, prayer really helps when it comes to experiencing a visitation from God. It should be something we pursue, continue and persistent in, that we would pray and seek the face of God, because it does lead to visitations. It's no wonder why the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, talks about the armor of God, and then it kind of concludes with this. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times, and on every occasion, stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's the doorway that opens up the heavens to come down and to minister and to touch people and to help people. It's what we want to do. It's what we want to see. And as we pray over our communities, as we pray over the needs that we have, as we pray over the needs of others, we need heaven to come down and to touch people and to minister to people, to heal people. There's a number of people here in our own church that have some really big needs. And you know what? If we don't pray, if we don't intercede in their behalf, it's not looking good for them. It's not looking good. We need to pray for one another. We need to be praying that God intervenes. As we look in our community and things that are happening around us in our community, there's a lot of bad things taking place in our community. But you know what? As we pray, as we call on the name of the Lord, as we pray that they would experience visitations, even the most evil of person, even murderers, can get saved and their lives can be totally turned around. Pray into that. Pray into that. Pray for some divine visitations to happen. And then lastly, Cornelius created an atmosphere for a God visitation because he was obedient. God blesses obedience. Chapter 10, verse 7 of Acts. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. And he sent them out immediately. He didn't wait. It says, as soon as the angel was gone, he responded in obedience. Verse 33 says, so I sent for you at once, talking to Peter here. And it was good of you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. So Cornelius responded immediately to the instructions and the vision and the encounter that he had. He wasted no time in fulfilling what he was told to do. And as soon as the angel was gone, he says, I sent for you at once. So there was an immediate obedience. Not only was there an obedience in sending for Peter to come, there was also an obedience that I'm going to get all my family ready and all my friends. And he called on a whole bunch of people to come. And here they are. They're waiting for Peter to come. It sounds like they were there at least a day before Peter even showed up. But they're waiting expectantly. And if we want visitations from God, we need to be obedient to what he's already showed us. If we're not obedient to what God has already showed us, then why would God want to give us another visitation when we're not being obedient to what he already showed us? So obedience is very important. Very important. An obedient and expecting crowd, as we saw on that day, as Peter came into that room, what an atmosphere to be in. You know, we look at church and we kind of all come at various times to church. And think about coming to church, that as a pastor, I would come to church and everybody would be here already. Just waiting. Just waiting. Just can't wait, you know, to see what's going to happen today. You know, really that's kind of the expectation we should be having. We don't have that, but we should have that. We really should. We should be having an expectancy to believe God for more. Obedience gets God's attention. Way back in the Old Testament, we hear the story where King Saul was given instructions, but he didn't follow those instructions. He had a visitation. He had the Lord speaking to him, but he didn't follow through. And listen to what the prophet Samuel says to him in 1 Samuel 15:22. He said, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. So God looks for obedience from all of us. And as we are obedient to what he's already declared to us, what he's already shown to us, then it opens the door to receive more from him. And so as we close here this morning, you know, I really believe God is wanting to encounter us more, especially as we see the signs of the end times being fulfilled. I had to go yesterday into Edmonton and back, and so I was listening to a sermon there, and I've listened to the first part of it quite a few times because it was talking about revival, and it was a church that was praying, and you could hear them praying in the background, and it was a really kind of a neat experience just to listen to that and be encouraged in that. But God is visiting people. God is touching people. There are miracles that are taking place that sometimes we are totally unaware of. But there's people here today that could stand up and say, "God spoke to me, Pastor. Pastor, I had a vision. Pastor, I had a dream. Pastor, I had this revelation." There's lots of those things that are taking place, and I'm believing they're going to increase even more. Because I really believe that God is moving in many ways, and he's speaking to people through signs and wonders and dreams and visions, healings, angelic encounters, visitations, all kinds of areas. Because why would he do that? Because God desires all people to be saved. God desires no one to go to hell, but that all people would come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's why God would do such things. And, you know, if we as Christians want to catch God's attention, then I think we need to be paying attention to what happened in this portion of Scripture. Because Cornelius caught God's attention. He had a remarkable divine visitation from heaven. The atmosphere that he created for that encounter came from his devotion to God, his generosity to God and others, his prayer life, and his quick obedience. And I think the same thing can happen for us if we start paying attention to those areas in our lives. And I just feel to tell you, expect more. God is wanting to move, and he's wanting to pour out his Spirit upon us in even greater ways. We just need to position ourselves the best that we can, that we might receive more from him. You know, just like that little girl this morning, on that night where those northern lights were out, she decided to declare a passage of Scripture. In her own language, she declared that. She did that again for us today. Do you think God noticed? Sure he did. Sure he did. God is wanting to move upon children, but he's also wanting to move upon us adults as well. The Bible says in Acts 2, 17 to 19, in the last day, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. God is an amazing God. He's a miracle-working God. And he's able to encounter us. He is able to visit us. And I think we need to get to that place and say, Lord, you're welcome. Come and visit me. Come and visit me. I think we also need to be interceding and praying on behalf of others that we know that are maybe hard to the gospel right now, that they don't want to have anything to do with the gospel. Well, obviously, they're not going to listen to us. They're not going to listen to our pleas. But if they have a visitation, they're going to be listening. They're going to be listening. All of a sudden, if there's an angel standing in their room, I guarantee you something, they're going to be listening. Or if the Lord appears to them, they're going to be listening. They're going to have a changed life. And I think we need to be praying that. God, I pray for visitations. I'm praying that. I pray that more than I've ever prayed it in my whole life, because I realize there's so many seemingly hopeless situations that are out there. And if you're like, man, the only thing that's going to change this person or change this situation is a visitation from God. Throughout history, we have seen some major visitations. They're called revivals that have happened throughout the centuries. I tell you, we need another one. We need another one through our nation. We need another one in our area. Let's pray for that. Let's believe for that. Let's cry out for that. God, we want a visitation. And if God sees us, which he does, he's going to start seeing that prayer. And as we as the people, not just as a pastor, but as we as the people cry out for visitations, we're going to start seeing more and more visitations. And you'll start seeing more and more people all of a sudden coming to church. Why? Because God visited them. There may be some people here today, and maybe this is your first time in church. Maybe that happened to you. Maybe you had something take place in your life that you knew that, I think this is God. God's speaking to me. And you're here today, or you're watching online, and there's been something taking place, and you've been kind of wondering, like, what's going on? Is this really God? And so you kind of turned on, and you're watching us here on Facebook this morning. That is God. And he desires to touch each and every one of us. And he's drawing people that we're not even expecting, because sometimes our faith just isn't out there enough. But I think we really need to be praying for the worst of society to come to Jesus, for their lives to be turned around. Wouldn't it be wonderful, as you think of some of these revivals, that the police department had nothing to do? Man, wouldn't that be something? Every time I go in that station, they're always filling on the computer, doing the reports and all that kind of stuff. They never have enough time to do the reports. Wouldn't it be something that they were in there and say, we got nothing to do? God can do that. God can do that. Let's not give up on God, but let's keep praying for visitation. If you had a visitation, come up and tell me. I really appreciate that. I love hearing how people have had visitations from God. So I'd love to hear your story.